Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
The Holy Spirit was talking to me this morning, and I wrote it down, but I didn't bring it with me. So I'm going to try to remember what He said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Where are my people? What are they doing? Are you here with me now? What is it that you desire from me? I am willing to give it. Does everyone at your church, at your work, in your community, in your neighborhood, know who you are? You are a king. You are a priest. You represent me. You are an ambassador for Christ. Do you know the power I have bestowed inside of you? Will you do the things I've asked you to do? Will you go to your pastor and ask for prayer? Or will you look beside you and ask that priest that is right next to you for prayer? Will you have your pastor do all the work? Or will you go out and work for me? Will you be the one I have chosen? Will you be the one who helps to save souls? Will you walk in my authority? I have given you vast authority in this world of darkness. Who will help the darkness to flee? The ones who have power and authority and believe, worship, and obey me. You have that power and authority. I have given it to you. This is the year of the fire. Some of you are going through the fire right now. You're being refined. Some of you have been refined 7 times over. Welcome the fire. Let there be a fire in your heart. For me, Jesus, walk in my ways with you and you alone, each and every one of you. Can we change this world? Can we bring more into the harvest? Have I not asked you to bring more into the harvest? Time is running out. It is time to be bold, not to be impotent, but to stand forth and be bold. Run your race well. Encourage each other. Come into the fold and get fed here on a Sunday, but go out there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and preach my word. Walk in my word and be the example that I have given you. This is my desire. This is the day. This is the way. Walk in it. Thank you.
How many know it's by the power of the blood and a word of our testimony? It's our testimony. I have a testimony for you this morning. I've known for a long time that God's timing is perfect. It is, but we fail to recognize it over and over and over again. Last February, when this virus hit and people started losing their jobs, I had 5 of my adult children. I guess all of my children are adults now. 5 of my children show up at my house because they were out of jobs. So we started filing for unemployment. And it included my wife. But guess what? They didn't like the fact that there were five addresses or five claims coming out of one address. And so my wife's unemployment was denied and denied and denied week after week and month after month since last February. And I kept saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but that's okay. I know you're in charge. It's okay. I don't know, Lord. So we've been leasing the house we're in for the past 6.5 years. And the past 4 years, month to month, no big deal. I haven't seen the landlord. He's out of state. So I guess it was November. We get this call saying, I'm going to be in Tucson for the holidays. I'd like to stop by and see the house. Well, great. Come on down. Maybe we'll do lunch. On January 2nd, he shows up at the door with a real estate agent and said, I'm selling the house. You have 30 days to get out. I don't know about you all, but after 48 years of marriage, we got a lot of garbage in our house, a lot of stuff. Yeah. And so immediately we started panicking, right? Shouldn't panic, should never panic. But we found a house, much more expensive. Where are we going to come up with the money for all this stuff, right? And if we had known about it before Christmas, we might not have been so extravagant over Christmas and had the spare cash to take care of this. So we're dealing with, we found a house, starting to move in. And lo and behold, my wife gets an email that says, your unemployment has been deposited in your account. God's timing is perfect.
This is a day for words, I guess. In the time of John the Baptist's ministry, all eyes were on John the Baptist. He was doing wonderful things. He was preaching the right words. All eyes were on John the Baptist. And when the right timing came for Jesus to walk into the scene, John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he could increase. And I think what he's saying to us today, we're blessed to have this wonderful worship team. We're blessed to have our preachers up here, wonderful Bible teachers, youth pastors. This church is truly blessed. But what he's saying to us today is that we decrease. We want more of Jesus. We want people to see Jesus in our worship, in our preaching, and just the way we are. And so as we decrease and focus our eyes on him, the rest of the world would do the same. So ask how that happens. Even though we're blessed with all we have, that we would decrease personally as a church. And when people see us, they're not even going to look at us. It's not our ministry, whatever that may be. It's his. Amen.
As we were worshiping, God was giving me a scripture over and over and over. So I just want to read it to you real quick. Hebrews 4:12. It's a scripture that a lot of us know, but it's, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I could really feel this scripture, like I said, as we were worshiping, it was just really speaking to me. And I think a big thing that God is speaking about is, this is what's important, the word. Just hearing those things that he has and spending time, because then the Holy Spirit comes in and just begins to unlock all these mysteries inside of that alive and active word. The words that you're reading on the Bible aren't just words. It's not just any typical book. And that's the amazing thing about... Sorry, I'm going to try to hold it together so you can understand me. But that's the amazing thing about God. It's not a, we're not here for just a religion. We're not here just for the day to day. We're not here just to come sit in a seat that we're used to sitting in every single day, just so that tomorrow we can do things the way we normally do them. We get stuck in ruts. We get stuck in these routines of this is the way that things go and everything's going good. So since it's going good, I'm going to keep doing it. But just like the word says, the word is active. It's alive. It's living. It's something that has, those words have something for you every single time that you open the book. But it's us allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and unlock those secrets for us. The Bible tells us that there's so many mysteries in the kingdom. But those mysteries aren't meant to stay hidden from us. They're meant that as we, just like we were hearing, as we're being refined, as we're going through the fire, as we're going through things in life, He begins to unlock these things. The words that are written upon your heart aren't just there and forgotten. They're there so that in the opportune, the right moment, they'll come forth and you'll know exactly what it was for. It's not anything we do. If you go in and you read the word like a book and just go through it as fast as you can, there's going to be times where you're saying, I don't understand. Do you know that there are times where I read a chapter 3 or 4 different times because I'm just like, I didn't quite get that. I don't quite understand. I don't quite get what that, why are you telling us that? There's even times where it's, that seems mean. Well, God, why would you do that? And those moments are good moments for us to stop and say, God, show me what you want to show me in this. Tell me what you want me to see in this. Because where I have no understanding, you provide understanding. Where I'm not sure, you are sure. When it's a mystery to me, it's not to you. And it's you within me that gives me everything I need. So do it. We gotta come to a point where we open up and we allow Him to move in our life. And as we begin to allow Him to move, you begin to see things happen in your life because those words aren't just words on a page anymore. They're active and alive in your life. They're giving you every single thing you need, the bread of life, the food that you need. You'll begin to notice that you're not on that milk anymore because He's giving you more. He's increasing the mysteries that He's unlocking. He's showing you more things, the things that before you didn't understand, the things that you didn't see. You'll begin to see that you see them differently. You'll begin to see that there's a whole new picture. That's what having the Holy Spirit in our life is about. It's not about living our life normal. It's about taking us into the kingdom. It's about showing us who we are in Him. It's about knowing that those promises, those things that are given, those things that He says that He'll do for us, that we actually see them come forth in our life, because now there's things that are being given as tools so that we can move forward, so that we can overflow, so that we can become a living well, so that He can begin to flow to the people around you, so that He can begin to touch even the person next to you, because we shouldn't just be sitting still. We should be allowing that flow. We should be allowing that refining. And in every moment, allowing Him to reveal the next thing to us. Instead of asking for revival, we should just be asking for a revelation. Give us something new. Man, revival is already here. He paid the price. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He's within you. It's a matter of us rising up and taking our place, understanding that the Word and the Holy Spirit unlocks a key for us that we wouldn't have otherwise. That it's not about just coming to church anymore, but it's about going out and going forth, being the light and the salt and doing every single thing that He created us for. Whew. Man, We were created for greatness.
Lord's saying, you want more of me, and I want more of you. I'll give you more of me. You can have all of me, is what he says to us. But you have to be willing to let go. You have to let go. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Pharaoh represents idol, bondage, slavery. And that's what God brought us out of. And we're going with God on this journey. And we're not supposed to keep going around the mountain. You know, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they left so quickly that they didn't even have time to put yeast in their bread. They didn't have the luxuries of the foods that Pharaoh fed them. And on their journey out in the wilderness, God gave them manna. And he rained it down every day. And he said to gather what you need every day. They got sick of the manna. Manna means what is it? What is it? They got tired of eating the same thing over and over. They got used to it. Even though it was a blessing from God, they got used to it. And so they began to complain, murmur and complain. And they're like, we want to go back. We want to go back to Egypt where we've got all this fish and all this bread. And we had our stomachs full of whatever we wanted. Yet you don't remember the bondage that you were in, is what he says. The chains that were on you. You know, it came to a point where Pharaoh took away the straw even for them to make bricks. And he expected them to carry the same load as when they had the straw. And God is saying, if you would just go, if you would just go with me, if you would come with me, and you let go of your idols, let go of your Pharaoh, let go of the things of the past. Don't even identify yourself with the things of the past. That's not how I see you. That's not how I see you. Don't be afraid. There are two meanings of being afraid that God talks about. Pakad, or it's either pakad or pachad in Hebrew. And that is the fear that they had when they were in bondage. Being afraid. And then there's yirah, which is the good fear, fearing God. Not like, oh God, I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of you. Because that's not what he intended. He didn't mean for you to be afraid of him. It's to honor him. The fear that he means to have for him is to honor him and bring him glory. There is no room left for the yeast if you're going to move forward. There's no room for it. And even though the bread might be flat at times, it will be enough to sustain you. Continue to move forward. Don't go backward.
Do I need this? Yeah. Praise God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the thing is that, we got to eat. You know what kind of food we eat? What did Jesus eat? What did Jesus eat? You know what Jesus ate? When he was talking to the woman in the well, and then the disciples went out and looked for food. And when they came back, the Lord asked him, Lord, you want to eat? I already ate. He already ate when he ministered to that woman. And every time we talk to a soul out there, the Holy Spirit nourishes us with his word. The word says, you know, that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the word of God, you know, the word of God is in our hands every time we walk. It's in our hearts. When we eat his word. When we eat, it's when we minister to somebody and tell them about Jesus. That word, that name, which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow in the heavens and the earth and under the earth, and every tongue is going to confess that he is master, that he is Lord. And that's who he is, you know. We have to go out there, you know, like I was called the other night, you know, they says, will you pray for my goddaughter's son, you know, he was going to go into surgery, and because his eye surgery, because his eye would just take off, and he would try to follow it. I could have said, okay, you know, well, you know, I'll pray for him. No, but the Lord led me over there to the family, and I went and prayed for the child, you know, and when we prayed, the biggest miracle was his father. He opened his heart to the Lord because he, you know, he didn't know God. He didn't even open the Bible anymore. And that night, he was praying. I mean, he was reading the word of God. And then after, you know, I got a report next day, and it told me that he went home and told his father that every word that came out, I know it was the Holy Spirit. And the thing is that, you know, he was ministering to his father in every word that came out that night by the Holy Spirit. He told his father that same word. And today, this morning, they were going to go to church. See. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, you know, what church you go to. But pray that church is full of the anointing of God to feed those souls, you know. And sometimes we have to be careful the way we minister, you know. Do not quench our, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know. We're not sending him because, you know, sometimes we try to do it on our own. God doesn't need help. You see. All we got to do is open our mouths. And God's going to speak like he did today. You know, brother, the Lord has given me the same thing, but I was sitting there, and he used you to speak to the church. But the same thing was in my heart, you know. And I was bringing, and I was praising God when I heard the word. And you too, sister. God, you know, God, all we have to do is open our mouths. And he's going to speak. You see. When I was in the world, you know, with alcohol and stuff like that. And the thing is, you know, when I was drunk, I had a big mouth. But praise God, now that mouth, you know, it's like the brother over there, you know, this brother here, you know, her voice. Or anybody, you know, that speaks the word of God and sings for the praises of God, you know, God is going to use us, sister. God is going to use all of us. I love the drums, but I don't know how to play them. Right, Rick? Brother Rick is the same thing. You know, I've known him, you know, way back. And the thing is, you know, he used to play the drums at the church I used to go to. But the thing is that, you know, my instrument is my mouth. And now I got a big mouth to go out there and shout it out from the mountaintop up to the lowest valley. Praise God. You know, in prison, you know, I didn't need a microphone. Because one time the power went off, and they were listening to me over there where they were playing baseball, over there where they were playing soccer. You know, every state, you know, the state prison over in Mexico. And wherever, the word I went out, it never returned void. You see? Why? Because God was using this big mouth. We were in the mountains up there, and I was looking through the houses out there. You could see those curtains open up like that, you know. But praise God, I was always praying that God would use me. And I'm not ashamed now. God took every every drug, every alcohol that I used to do, you know, in one night, boom. But he's still taking stuff off of me. He's not done with me, praise God, you know. And I enjoy him. He's my joy. He's our joy. He's our strength. And that's what we need, you know, his joy. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. And that's what we need, you know. We need more of him, you know, like it says right there in that song that, you know, we had to give ourselves to him to use us. Amen. Praise his holy name. Amen, amen.
Yeah, am I on? Yeah, praise God. How's it going? Hallelujah. Well, it looks like we've been already been to church. Amen? Amen. Hey, might as well just go home. Praise God. You know what? I got a word for you, though, this morning. I appreciate every one of you that come up and speak. And brother, hey, it's not that you're not loud enough in the house wherever you went, Ruben. It's that we record everything, and it's easier for them to turn you down than it is for them to try to jerk it all up. Man, is that okay? So anybody, when you come to speak, please grab a mic, because we believe in the body of Christ, ministering to the body of Christ here. Amen. Hallelujah. Because your word that you got this morning, that word that you heard the Holy Spirit say to you this morning, might not only be for you, but also for somebody else in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. How many enjoyed the rain this morning? You enjoy that? You woke up and there's rain. I looked out and I went outside to let my dog out and walked out there. I go, oh man, I'm going to call Pastor John. I'm not feeling sick. I'm not hurting. I'm not broken, but I just want to stay home today. Amen. How many of the rain makes you want to stay home? Just enjoy it, man. You know, open the window, let a little breeze in and just, come on, man. Hallelujah. But my wife put a stop to that right away. Hallelujah. No, you're not calling Pastor John. No, didn't God give you a word last night, boy? Yes, ma'am. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you know that knowing is everything? Did you see your bulletin this morning? Knowing is everything. Do you know? It depends on what you know. Is that right? What do you know? Who do you know? Hallelujah. Knowing is everything. I was telling the folks this morning that I was asked to teach some people at work about a piece of equipment, and so I'll teach them. And one of the guys in my school, in my class, he asked me. He goes, "Hey man, I don't know, man. How do you?" He goes, "I'm nervous about teaching. How do I tell my," because there's a lot of departments up at the mine, and every one of these departments, most of them have an air compressor, so every department needed somebody to be able to look at their piece of equipment. And so this guy had been doing it longer than I had. And I told him, Jesse, listen, you know this machine better probably than I do. The machines in the department you're at, you know them probably better than I do. Isn't that right? You know when they're not sounding right and everything. He goes, "Yeah." That's all you got to do is just teach them what you know. Teach them how to look at the gauges and everything. How many of you know it's easy to teach something when you know it? Is that right? If you know about it, you know. There's a lot of know-it-alls in this church, whether we know it or not. How many say amen to that? Yeah, I know it all. Just ask me. Hallelujah. This is a time of knowing a lot of stuff. Is that right? We're in a time now that there's more stuff to know than it's ever been accessible to us. Is that right? You got an internet out there will tell you everything you want to know. If I need to know how to fix something on my car, I can look it up and find out how to fix it. And now I'm in the know since I see it on. There was a guy that was doing he was fixing an air conditioning on his truck. He had to get to he had to get the part underneath the dash out. What he was showing, he said, "You just take this Sawzall and you cut right here and you go right here." I go, "That's not what I want to know, that's for sure." Nobody, I mean, maybe when I was a teenager, I might cut up my dashboard, but not anymore. I see. So you got to be careful about what you get. Is that right? The information that you get comes into you. You have to be careful about it. One thing that God is saying, one of the things that I believe that God is saying, he wants you to know him like you've never known him before. How do you say amen to that? How many are excited about knowing more about God? Can I tell you, he's bigger than we've ever imagined. He is huge. Is that right? And he's got stuff to show us. He's got things he wants to talk to us about. He's got, oh man, he's got every area of our life is under his hand. Is that, do you understand what I'm saying? Everything, even the trees out front, even the parking lot and everything that's around you. Can I tell you that God can talk to you about it? He can say something to you about it. Amen. How many like design? Anybody like design? John and Stella's grandson, Sean, was here in Elizabeth here yesterday, and they were showing me his Corvette. How many like Corvettes? Man, I like Corvettes. I go, oh man. And I was looking at, you know, he was telling me one of the things about this Corvette. I don't want to, hope I'm not boring you with this stuff, man, but I just feel that it does have part to do with the sermon. One of the parts in his Corvette, he says, let me show you something, Pastor. He goes, you know, on the dashboard, you got a little fuel. I mean, do you guys know that on your gas gauge, you got a little fuel pump there? A little, looks like a gas thing. You guys ever seen, you know what that's for? That's to tell you what side your tank is on. If it's on this side of the dash, that means it's on, of that gauge, it's on this side. If it's on this side, it's just telling you. How many of you ever forgotten what side your tank is on? You're pulled up and you go, am I on the right side? Your wife or your husband will look at, don't you know? See, you guys, it's important to know. Is that right? That's part of this. Anyway, he was showing me his, he goes, let me show you something. He goes, look at where the gas filler is. And it was right in the middle where the trunk would be. I guess, isn't that right? It's right in the center. He says, I can pull up either side of the pump and just, it's right there. Don't need that little thing to tell me which side I'm on. Isn't that cool? And it's there by design. Is that right? Design. I love design. I sometimes will be doing something, even like if it's washing or something of my, you know, in the kitchen, I'll look at something. I picked up a, it's kind of weird. We've got this glass teapot and I picked it up and I'm looking at it and I was cleaning it and I just started, I said, man, this thing is, I love design. How many like design? I love things that are designed well. How many like that? Can I tell you? You yourself are designed by the Creator that says it's perfect. You are perfect. Do you understand that? Do you understand you're perfectly designed? And everything within you is designed to function the way it's supposed to function. Do you understand that? Do you understand it? We as the children of God, as men and women of God, need to begin to understand. We need to know what God is saying to us. I want to know, God, what you're saying. I want to know what you're doing. How many say amen? Not just see it happen after. I want to know what it is. Is that all right? That's why this, look at your neighbor and say, knowing is everything. Say it again. Knowing is everything, bro. Bro. Sis. Sister. Knowing is everything. Especially when it comes to God. Knowing him. The word of God says they that do know their God will be what? Strong, and they will do exploits. What are exploits? Those are wondrous things, wonderful things. That's in Daniel. They that do know their God. Do you know him? Do you want to get to know him better? Woo, hallelujah. I want to know him. Every move you make, remember that song? I better not start singing because I want to know what you're doing. Sometimes we're so caught up in looking at what's going on around us, knowing what's happening that we see. You know, sometimes God is saying something. No. It's me. Let me be the focus of your life. Do you understand that? He said something to me the other day that I said it in the men's breakfast. And this is what the Lord said to me. He says, it hasn't changed, Henry. I still want my people in their secret place with me, one-on-one with me, like never before. Folks, do you know how important it is that we spend time with him? Do you realize how important it is? I like somebody that said not just Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and five times on each day. Find out what God's doing. Isn't that cool? Can I tell you this? God has created us to walk with Him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to show you things that you've never seen before. It's crazy. I don't even know why I'm speaking all this stuff, but I'll tell you what. You guys are drawing this stuff out of me because God is saying, He goes, look, I am changing things. I am changing things. And you need to see it happening. And the change is within you. It's not outside. It's within you. The change that He's doing is within you. It's taking you. I had a brother talking to me this morning about going around and round and round and round with sin. Can I tell you, sin is no longer an issue with you if Jesus has died for you. He's washed your sins away. Hallelujah. And say you're still having the same problem with it. It's not that you're sinning. It's God is saying, look, I'm trying to bring it to you so you can figure out by me that I want to cleanse and purge you of this thing. How many say amen to that? Amen. God's trying to clean us up. Hallelujah. Oh, we look good on the outside. All of you look good. You all look pretty and handsome. And come on, look at Johnny. Come on, look at that. Brushing that. But what is the inside look? What is God looking at? Amen? Come on, man. Do you love Him? Or are you just giving Him lip service? Hallelujah. I love where we're going to go into the scriptures here in just a minute. I love when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. I love it when Nicodemus, the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Him by night. And I've been taught all my life that that he was ashamed, that he didn't want to be seen going to talk to Jesus because he was a Pharisee, he was a ruler of the Jews. And I've been taught that all my life, but seems to me that the Lord just started speaking to me. He said, why do you think that? Could it be that he was seeing something he'd never seen before and he went after it? Could that be what was going on with him? Maybe he worked night shift, like I was saying this morning. Maybe he worked night shift. Maybe his job didn't let him out until 6:30 at night. And here we are, all our lives been teaching, oh yeah, he is a scared. He was ashamed to be seen with Jesus. Come on, man, does it say that? It just says that he went to him by night. I have found that sometimes the nighttime hours, that's the best time for me to go find Jesus. God, what are you doing? Show me, Lord. Speak to me. Open your word to me. How many of you ever asked him to open his word to you? Hallelujah. Do you know he can't open his word to you if you don't go to the word? Do you know that? Hallelujah. I believe that Nicodemus saw something. How many say amen to that? And he desired to know. He wanted to know. So if you will, open your Bibles to John chapter 3. Hope you will enjoy the word this morning, because I believe God has already been speaking to every heart in the building. Amen? Let me say amen to that. I believe God has been using his people to speak to our hearts. Hallelujah. Katie, can you put this up in the New King James? I'm sorry. I didn't tell you that, did I? I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would open your word to us this morning. God, thank you for today. This is the day that that you have made. And we, Father God, will rejoice in it. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We thank you for what you're doing, God, for the fellowship of the believers. Thank you, Father God, for what your Son has done for us. Thank you for the word. Father, open now. Holy Spirit, open your word to us that we might see something new, something different, something. Father God, that will, Lord, that will strengthen and build us this morning. We come for the nourishment, God, of your word in our spirit, Lord. Thank you for it, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, knowing is everything. Now you got to say it like I said. Knowing is everything. Come on, man. Don't you forget it. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, starting at verse 1, says, There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one else can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus is telling Jesus right there. He says, man, we know this. No man can do what you do except God is with him. And you're doing him, so we know that God is with you. We know that you're a teacher sent from God. Nicodemus goes, man, but you're doing things different. Doesn't say that, but I know. Nicodemus said, but there's something different about you. Amen? How many say amen? That there is something different about Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. He was touching people the way the religious system had never touched people. How many like being touched by God? Hallelujah. I remember when I got touched by God, I couldn't believe. It's almost like, hey, God, I grew up calling myself a religious person. I was a religious person. I was a Catholic, and I thought I knew everything I needed to know about God. I just found out that I had nothing, that I didn't know who God was. Because when I was asked, do you want to know Jesus? I told the guy, I'm a Catholic. And he goes, I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you knew Jesus. And I said, no, I don't know him. Do you want to know him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can I meet him? Praise God. And he introduced me to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly. I like the way the King James says that. It says, verily, verily. And the NIV says, truly, I say to you, truly. Jesus is the truth, speaking truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Truly, I say to you, most assuredly, I say to you, verily, verily, I say to you, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How many of you want to see the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. You've already entered into that gate, but you have to be born again. Is that right? Amen. But there's some folks that don't know. Some people don't understand this, that you have to be born again. You have to be. Jesus said it. You must be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Simple. Is that right? You silly guy, you can't do that. What's the matter with you? That's not what I'm talking to you about. Jesus, can I tell you, when Jesus brings a word, sometimes it's strange. Is that right? Is that okay? The word seems strange, but God, but if you keep listening, God will explain things to you. Amen? Come on, we are in a time where God wants to explain to you all your questions. He knows who you are, and he wants to let me tell you what about this. Let me tell you about that. Well, I'll ask Pastor Henry. I don't know. See, God knows what you're asking. He knows your questions, and he wants you to know that he knows, and that he wants you to know. He wants to give you the answer to your questions. It's pretty cool, man. I love the Lord. I mean, love God. I love the Lord we serve. Can he crawl? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, truly, truly, of a truth, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. How many of you have been born again? Hallelujah. Do you understand what Jesus is saying about the wind blowing and coming and going? And do you understand that? Do you understand that you know, the Word of God, the translation for the Word in the Greek for spirit is pneuma. Everybody say pneuma. Pneuma. It basically means wind. That's where we get the term for pneumatic tools. You, everybody, Chris, you know what pneumatic tools are, right? Man, that's the word. It's pneumatic. Hallelujah. It's a wind. And these tools we use today, they're operated by wind. But what's he talking about? The wind blows where it will. Let me give you an example, because I was at work and there was a gentleman. I'm going to just call him Jimmy T. And he was probably the most foul-mouthed. He wasn't mean to folks, but he was just foul-mouthed. And I kind of stayed away from him. How many of you say amen? You know what I mean? I kind of said, I don't want to hear that. So I stayed away from this guy. And one morning, he was on my crew. And he was actually a good worker. He really was. But man, he had a mouth that, man, I had a bad mouth when I was before I knew the Lord. But now I'm a Christian and I'm hearing this stuff and it's going, man, I'm going to just stay away from it. So one morning, just before our crew meeting, I'm in the restroom and I'm washing my hands and he comes in and he walks in and he said something kind of weird. And I'm not going to tell you that because it's none of your business. But he comes in and he says something to me and I go, yeah, man, I just hurried up, finished up, grabbed a paper towel, left. I got out. Didn't want to hear what he had. I didn't want to hear any more of what he might have to say. We never spoke. And as I was walking down the hall, left the restroom, was walking down the hall towards the meeting room, the crew meeting room, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to speak to him today. I go, who? Him. See, there's a wind that blew in. There was a wind that said something. This is what I want you to do. It blew in. I didn't know where it was coming from. I figured out where it was coming from, but I didn't realize it was coming because I'm walking away from this guy. And he said, I want you to speak to him today. He's on my crew. So we get in there and we start our crew meeting and I'm sitting there and my supervisor comes to me and he throws this pile of paperwork in front of me. He says, going on the water field. The water field for the mine actually stretches from the mine. That mine has fingers all the way down to the Santa Cruz River here on the other side of the freeway. So that I had to go on the water field run where there's pumps. They're in the valley down there, right next to the river, there's deep well pumps. They pump up to a pumping station and another pumping station and then all the way up to the mine. It takes a lot to get that much water from the ground up to the mine. They use an incredible amount of water, isn't that right? When I looked at the paperwork standing in front of me, I go, well, Holy Spirit, I guess I won't be talking to him today. I'm going to the water field. Got my hat and everything, and I didn't see Jim around. I might have tried to say something to him in the shop, but I really wasn't real enthusiastic about saying something to him. I don't know if you get that or not. Hey, I'm a Christian. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to say something to me. And I said, no, not him. How about him? How about that guy over there? But not him. You know how he talks, God. Didn't say all that, but that's kind of what I was doing in my attitude. I'm out on the water field. Check the fire pumps. It was one of the pumping stations. And these pumps are loud, and I'm adjusting things and everything, checking the paperwork. And all of a sudden, I get this tap on my shoulder, and it's Jim. And I go, what? I go, what are you doing here, man? He goes, hey, man, they sent us to do a job. It just happened. I got a break. We're going to be welding. My radio doesn't work. Can I borrow your radio? Yeah, here you go, Jim. I said, God, God's timing is perfect. He's amazing. He really is. Jim went over and he was talking on the radio and the Holy Spirit reminded me, now's the time. I walked over there and I told him, hey, he gave me the radio back. Thanks, bro. And had a few things to say. And I said, Jim, before you leave, let me say something to you. I said, I don't know. I really had no idea what God wanted me to say. But I looked at him and I said, Jim, God cares about you. You need to know that. He loves you. He died on a cross for you. And what happened? I didn't even expect it. His eyes welled up and his tears started rolling down his face. And I said, Jim, you all right, bro? He goes, let me tell you,
Let me tell you, Henry. He goes, I keep it a secret, but last week I was diagnosed with hepatitis C, and I don't know how, what that is and how bad it is, but all I know is I got hepatitis, and I'm scared. And I was able to pray for him, and see, this wind blew in. The wind blows, and when it comes, you don't know, and when it's going, you don't know. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes, obey that voice. Is that okay? That's what Jesus was talking about. When the wind comes, obey. You don't know a lot about it. Can I tell you, we don't know. We don't really know our next step. Do you know that? Do you know your next step? Do you really know it? Do you really know? Is it really what you think it is? Because the Word of God says the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. He orders your steps. Can I tell you, everything about you, God has planned. Is that okay? Do you understand that? He is a master planner. Somebody was talking about attitudes this morning. Can you imagine the attitudes that God has to put up with? Can you imagine that? Woo, hallelujah. There's something that'll get you on your knees, man. Does me. I said, God, man, this ain't right. The love of God is shed in your heart by the Holy Spirit. By His Spirit. Doesn't come from you. Comes by His Spirit. That's Romans chapter 5. Get a look at it. I didn't have that in my notes, but he's saying that His love comes to you by the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you better ask for it if you want to survive in this world, because it's God's love that'll cause you to survive. His love and His love alone. The body of Christ is held together by the unity of the love of the saints. Do you know that love comes from God? It can't come from man. Is that right? It's His body, the body of Christ. Whew, hallelujah. You better know this. You got to know these things. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to know these things, Father. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify of what we've seen. And you do not receive our witness. Can I just say this to you? Your testimony is the most powerful thing that God has given you. How many know that? Everybody say amen. Amen. Because there might be somebody that tells you, you know what, I've heard that testimony over and over again. I'm tired of hearing it. But I tell you what, that's who you are. It's what God has done for you. Your testimony is the most powerful thing you have. God is with me. God is with me. He's spoken to me. He washed my sins away. How many say amen to that? How many of you know that the wages of sin is death? How many of you know that if you don't have any death, if you don't have any sins because He washed them all away, how in the world can you die? Because the wages of sin is death. God told Adam in the garden, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but that tree over there, don't you touch it. Don't eat from it, bro. The day you eat from it, you will surely die. Jesus had to come and die on a cross. He said, I took death. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down on myself. See, there's so much of what God is trying to get His people to understand about who they are. When it says you are in life, it's life more abundant. It's not. What part? I was asked to do a eulogy for a guy, and I was writing the words down. And one of the words I said, death is just a part of life. How many say amen to that? Death is just a part of life. I probably caught you. I shouldn't have asked you to say amen to that, because it's not. When I wrote that down, the Holy Spirit told me, where did you get that from? God, I'm not sure. He said, do you realize that you are speaking what man speaks and not what I speak? Death is not a part of life. Death and life are as separate as light and day, darkness. And do you understand what I'm telling you? So when He says the wages of sin is death, Jesus paid for your sins. Therefore, everything according to the righteous judgment of God, because He placed His Son on the cross to die for you, according to the righteous judgment, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you understand that? That's the Word of God. That's God's word. Do you know it? Are you hearing what God is saying to you this morning? We are in the time of a generation that's never been seen on this planet. It is the generation of the body of Christ. There are more people spread out across the world, across this globe, that are spirit-filled than there's ever been, and it's time. God told Adam and Eve, before they fall, before the fall, he said, subdue the earth. Take dominion over it. And then he said this, fill the earth. With what? Men and women not tainted with sin. Not tainted. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That was the plan. That was the intent of God. Fill the earth. Can I tell you, there are more Christians today in the earth? I don't even know how many, but I know God is saying to me, I am preparing for a worldwide outpouring through my body that's in the earth. He's told us to pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, we are part of it. We are mouthpieces for the Lord. How many say amen to that? That's who we are. You're not just a baker. You're not just a banker. You're not, you know, you are a mouthpiece for God. You have a testimony. God's done something for you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time that you begin to speak those things. Just share them. If you got nothing else to share, say, listen, I know if there's one thing I know that Jesus' blood can wash the sinner clean. That's one thing I know for sure. Oh, but there's so much more to know. Amen. So much more. Woo, hallelujah. Your testimony is powerful. Isaiah chapter 43:10. Listen, this is what the Lord says. And he's saying it to you. It says this. Isaiah 43:10. Hallelujah. I like this. You are my witnesses. Amen. They are my witnesses, saith the Lord. My servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me. Is that right? How many like this already? Ooh, this is a good word, man. I don't know how you can just sit there. Some of you ought to just get up and just do a little dance. Because he says, you are my witnesses. Let me just say, Ricky, you're my witness. Steve, you're my witness. He says, my servant who, this is not Henry talking here. This is not. Some political figurehead. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lord. His Father. This is God the Father saying, I've chosen you. You have been chosen. You. I didn't choose you. If it would have been up to me, I wouldn't have chosen you. I'm just kidding. I never got chosen for anything. Just like one of those kids that chosen last. Reuben was always chosen first. But me, hey, we don't want him. Okay, well, you want to be the bat boy? You're chosen. You are chosen. For what? That you may believe. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. See, he wants you to know him. Know him. If there's anything we want to know, if there's anything you got to get set your focus on, is getting to know him and getting to know him better. Because he really does have treasures for you. Things that he wants to open up, treasures in darkness. The darkness is in your life because you don't understand him. God dwells in the darkness. He's light, but he dwells in the darkness. What darkness? Not him. It's your darkness he's dwelling in. And he wants to give you light. He wants to bring revelation to you, to open things up to you so that you might know more about him and what he's done for you and what he's placed within you. It's an incredible thing. It's not religious. It's relationship. It's love that passes all understanding, a peace that will take your heart and cause you to be, man, this is God. That's who I am. You've got nothing to fear. Don't care what's happening out in the world. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen? That's what his word says. His word, do you know it? You're my witnesses. So your testimony is powerful. You got to, like it says here, you have, Jesus said, we do speak what we know. You have to speak what you know. Proverbs 22, 17 to 21. This was a word that I gave to a couple of fellows this last week. And it, just this whole week, it's been popping up in my heart, popping up in my heart. And I realized that God was saying something to the body of Christ this morning. It says this, bow down your ear. Hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee. They shall with all be fitted in your lips. Stop for there just for a minute. The words, the word of God, when it comes into your heart, and it comes into your heart, not in your mind. A lot of people are into memorizing the word of God. And that's cool. If you can do it, that's fine. But can I tell you something? There's something even greater than that. It's when the Holy Spirit writes his word on your heart. It is something that he does. The Holy Spirit does it. You don't even do it. But all of a sudden, you're reading something. You go, oh, my God, that's good. You color it, and you mark it, and you put a little flag in it and everything else. And you say, man, this is beautiful. I love this word. See, what has happened is the Holy Spirit has written that in your heart. And then you go out and you start telling people, let me show you this scripture. Oh, this scripture hit me the other day. I remember doing that for quite a while. After a while, I said, God, I got so many favorite scriptures. I just got to say, you know what? I love the Bible. Amen. How many have favorite scriptures? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have an everlasting life. Do you have a favorite scripture? Well, yeah, this one's my favorite. It's the word. Do you realize that Jesus is the word of God? He's the word. He's my favorite. Amen. He's my favorite. Hallelujah. When I realize that the word of God, Jesus is they're the same. My favorite is the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within thee. They shall be fitted in your lips. The Holy Spirit will take. He says, open your mouth. Brother Reuben was saying that you got to say it. You got to just open your mouth. Amen. That's what he's talking about. He says, man, open your mouth wide now, fill it. He will. Those things that you have within you will be fitted in your lip. They'll come floating up and they'll come out. There's a scripture in Isaiah. I should have looked it up. I didn't look it up. But it talks about how the Spirit, he's within man, and he comes up into the midst of the neck. What's in the midst of the neck? Your voice box. It's your voice. Your voice. Your testimony. It's important to God. It ought to be important to you. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, they shall be with all fit in your lips that your trust might be in the Lord. I've made known to you this day, even to you. Haven't I written to you excellent things in counsels and in knowledge? I want you to hear this this morning. Read this scripture in the King James because it says it in a beautiful way where other translations, I just don't sense the anointing. Is that okay? Can I say that? I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Because in other translations, it does not say excellent things. How many like excellent things? How many like excellent design? I love excellent design. And here it says, that I might make you to know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might answer the word of truth to them that send to you. Can I tell you that God is knowing what he's written on your heart, knowing that your heart is willing to minister, willing to speak to somebody. Know that he knows. He will begin to bring people to you. You don't even have to look for it. I remember going out and banging on doors. Not, hey, can I talk to you about? Sorry. Go another door. Hey, I'd like to talk about you. Yeah, whatever, man. Okay, thanks. Love you. Bye. We're praying for you. Get out of here. Yeah, whatever. You remember doing that, Reuben? Come on, man. We're supposed to be led by the Lord. Amen. The Holy Spirit has come and said, let me take you. Let me show you. Let me bring them to you. You watch. They'll come to you when you have that word. It's written on the tables of your heart. Hallelujah. You might answer the words of, I like what he says, truth, to those that send to you. Proverbs 18:21 says this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, the words in this book are life. They're life. Jesus not only was a light, but he was the life of man. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. How many say, uh-oh, I said something the other day? We speak a lot of things. And I'm really trying to slow myself down. And I get kind of excited. This morning, my wife was laughing at me because when we were having the kind of everybody that comes in real early to set up the church, I was talking so fast. Because there's a lightness in the spirit. Do you know that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes there's a lightness in the spirit. And what he's saying begins to come really fast, really fast. And you try to say it. He wants his desire to allow his word to flow out of you, a fountain of life. The Bible says that righteousness is a fountain of life. You ought to be a fountain of life everywhere you go, a fountain. Hallelujah. And you can't do that without knowing that the things he's written to you are excellent things. They are things that will help somebody and change somebody. The words that you think, the words that you say can cause somebody to get saved, even when just praying for their kid. Isn't that right, Ruben? The words. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says this. A good man or woman, let's say, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And you say amen to that. Amen. And he says, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Amen. This was Jesus speaking this, by the way. These were words in red. Words in red. Watch out, man. Listen. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What's in your heart? Your heart, what comes out of your mouth, will reveal what's in your heart. Are you condemning to those around you? Are you loving to those around you? What's in your heart will come out. And it will come out. Sometimes it'll come out in abundance. Like my friend Jim. It was coming out in abundance. Prayed for him later on. He gave his heart to the Lord. I was having a hard time one day at home. I was like, God, I don't know, man. Is this where you want me? I was in one of those. How many of you ever been in a low spot with God? But you know what? But there's always, you know, I don't know if I want to call it a low spot. It was just one of those times when maybe I needed something, but I didn't know what. And I was looking in God's word. I was teaching at the time. I was teaching adult Sunday school up for assembly. And I said, God, I don't know what I need. There's something that I need, but I don't know what it is. I got a phone call that morning. Answered the phone in his gym. Hey, babe. That's what he called me. Hey, babe. Hey, I just wanted to call you, man. Just let you know. Thanks for talking to me about Jesus. I go to Victory Assembly of God now. And I just want to, you know, we haven't seen each other for a while. So I just want to let you know, bro. Hey, we love you. Hope everybody's doing good. And I told Jim, man, you were a call out of heaven, man. Can I tell you, God knows everything about you. He knows when you're low. He knows exactly where you're at, and he wants to minister to you. He wants to strengthen you by his word. Hallelujah. It's important that we know that what we speak is important. Do you know it? If you know it, then don't speak it. Or if you know it, speak it. If you know what God is saying, speak it. Amen. If you don't know, don't speak it. Is that right? If you're not sure, hold it. Hold back. If you're not sure it's God, hold on. Because, folks, words can tear somebody up. How many know that? Amen. Do you know that? Words can hurt people. They really can. Words, if not spoken correctly by the Holy Spirit, can tear down rather than build up. And folks, we're not here to tear down anything. We are here to build. We are here to build up and strengthen the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9:33 says this. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Can I tell you something? Sometimes there's a fear in us to say what God is saying. But the word of God says right here, if you believe in him, go ahead and say it. You won't be ashamed. He won't let you. Can I tell you something? That God has healed every one of us? Can I tell you that God has provision for every one of you? He sees you. He knows that your provisions have already been taken care of. Do you know that? Just because you haven't seen them doesn't mean they're not there. I mean, have we learned anything by that? Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Your provision is there. It really is. God has already provided for you. He provided for you the day that his son died on that cross. That day, he took some stripes on his back. That day, the word of God declared, by his stripes, you are healed. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God does care about what's ailing you? He does care about it. But he says, but what do you say about it? What's out of your mouth about it? I was in the back and I was back there. See, because I walk a lot. I walk and I pray. I walk and I pray and I walk and I pray. God has told me, I want you to walk. I want you to walk. All right. Just like Jesus would walk. That's what I said. Just like Jesus would walk, right? Yeah, whatever. I was telling Steve the other day, I said, Steve, do you walk? He goes, well, I take my golf cart. Is that right? I said, Lord, give me a golf cart. But no, I got to walk. But this leg in particular, I am attacked more on this leg than on this leg for whatever reasons. The other day I was in the back and I went to step over a board that was back there while I was working. And my shoe, my boot has a steel toe. And that steel toe grabbed a hold of the bottom of the board and I went forward. And I literally thought I was going to break my leg right there, man. But my leg puffed up, turned purple all the way down. And the word of God says that Paul says, I keep my body under subjection. You can't, if you don't know the word of God, you can't keep your body under subjection because you don't know what God has said about it. Does that make sense? So if you know what he said about it, then you can start causing your body to be under subjection. Because it words, I didn't give you this. John chapter 6, verse 63 says this. Jesus said this. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Do you see that? The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. And what are they? They're life. So when I did this to my leg in the back, and it turned purple and blue, I got a voice saying, oh, looks like you can't walk next week or the week after. I said, you know what? The word of God says, my stripes have many of those shall be nothing by any means hurt me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Even that's pain. Pain is a weapon that's formed against me. It's not going to prosper. I said, you know what? Let's go, leg. We're walking. So I did my walk, started walking. I didn't even want to tell my wife about it. I hid it for quite a while before I let her look at it. And she goes, it's blue. It's all right. And yeah, it's healing. We have to speak what we know. Do you understand? You got to speak what you know. And when a lot of times I understand, I get it. The migraine, I gotta find it. You know what? But before you go find whatever you're gonna look for to try to help yourself, speak what you know. Just try that. God is saying, just try my word. Just say it. Just believe it. He says, haven't I written to you excellent things in knowledge? And you know what? We try all sorts of concoctions. Is that right? But are you listening to what God is saying? We try a lot of concoctions, and they come in different various forms of not going to the doctor. And then I'm saying, well, I better go to the doctor. And you go to the doctor. And I'm not telling you that doctors are bad. I'm telling you that the word is good, and it's true. And he's telling you these are excellent things. So what I'm going to get you to do today, if you will stand up, hallelujah. How many believe the word of God? How many do believe that your provisions are taken care of? How many do believe that? How many of you do believe that you're healed? That your body cannot tell you anything. The flesh profits nothing, Jesus said. It is the spirit that quickens. Your flesh will try to say something. Well, you know, Uncle Fred, he had asthma. I don't care what it was. But you know, so you just got Uncle Fred. It's just even the doctors will tell you they're hereditary. They're not. When Jesus died on a cross and you believed him, you died on a cross. There was a severing of the things of the world, and now you are of the kingdom of God. Do you understand that? There's nothing that God hasn't taken care of for you already. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, the body of Christ. Today, you know, Brother Steve says this all the time. Hey, Jesus never got sick. You're right. The body of Christ is not sick. We just don't know it. I mean, say amen to that. Come on, that's a good word for you. You just don't know it. It just hasn't come with the power that it's designed with into your heart. Hallelujah. The power that word has designed to keep you healthy. To keep you whole, to keep you in life. That power is available to you. If you will believe God and none else, you got to believe God. Don't believe me. Believe God. Believe God. There's a lot of people believe in God. There's a whole different. You either believe God or you believe in, I believe in God, but whatever, man, just believe God. That's where you stand. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. That from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, hallelujah, there will be nothing that is contrary to God's word for who you are. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You can put your hand up. You can just put your hand just like this. You can put both hands up. You can do whatever you want. But Father, you see that. You see your people. Can you go ahead, Rebecca? Can you come up? You see your people, Lord. Father, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Father, I speak to every infirmity in the name of Jesus. You've been defeated. You've got no place and you've got no hold. You must release the people of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Release! Release! Release the people of God. I speak to your nervous system in Jesus' name. Be whole and complete. I speak to your skeletal, your bones. Be whole, be complete. I speak to your digestive system in the name of Jesus. Be whole and complete. I speak to your pulmonary, your lungs, where you take in the name of Jesus, be whole, be complete, be complete. In the name of Jesus, I speak to your circulatory system in the name of Jesus, be whole and complete. According to the design that God has created his people after. The design of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Be whole and complete. In Jesus' name. God says that we have not been given cunningly designed fables. These are truths to the body of Christ. It is who you are. It is what he's designed for you. It is his word to you that will hold you and keep you and strengthen you like none else. Nothing on this world. There's none else but him. Receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You are mighty, God. And we believe you, Father. So we thank you and we praise you this morning. We receive it, Father. If you receive it, give him an amen, a clap. Let him know that I receive those things that you have designed for the body of Christ in the name of Jesus. Worship the Lord with us just before you leave. Thank you for coming this morning. Hallelujah. Knowing is everything. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.